Are you feeling lost? Well, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Lostish,
where we,
Rose Chachko
and Emanuela Kafoutakis,
share what it's really like navigating your 20s.
We're two semi-lost girls figuring out careers, relationships, wellness, purpose, and everything in between.
Each week, we dive into the highs, the lows, and lessons of chasing your dreams, finding happiness, and learning to embrace the uncertainty.
We're not here to pretend like we've got it all together.
We're simply just figuring it out with you.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back
to the Lostish podcast. We have another amazing episode for y'all.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Guys, it's been a rough one today.
It's been a really interesting day. I've had some stuff come up at work.
I was crying in the car to Alex Warren's new album.
Yeah, I'm fuming because people are just ridiculously so unfair.
Mm.
But that is for me to deal with.
Welcome to life.
Welcome to life. But we have an exciting topic for you guys, and we are going to be talking about pretty much outgrowing
a life you thought you wanted.
A life that you thought you wanted. And
it's going to be a nice little cute, candid conversation.
And something that I think happens to a lot of people.
Everyone.
Everyone at some point goes, oh my God, I don't think I want this anymore, or I don't think I want to do this.
Or even just like not even intentionally knowing that, but just being like, oh my gosh, like my life now is so different to what I thought it would be 10 years ago.
And our goals and our dreams, they become so intertwined with our identity. Like a lot of the time, you know, people are like, I want to become this, or I want to do this, or I want to be an actor, or I want to be a model, or whatever, I am this.
Yeah, it classifies a lot of people.
And sometimes people feel a certain pressure to have achieved that thing by a certain time, but then they grow and they realize maybe it's not what I want to do. Maybe there is something else and maybe I haven't discovered that, but that's okay. Like it's something that a lot of people face, and something that I myself have gone through.
So have I.
And Emmanuel, I think everybody questions their kind of, or has an identity crisis or a career crisis or a people crisis. Just like you outgrow people, you outgrow careers and experiences.
And life.
And life, absolutely.
Where do we start? Maybe let's touch on like, where did you think you were going to be 5 to 10 years ago? Because I know personally my life has changed drastically, and I think that that's a topic that I like, a conversation I have with so many people all the time. But like, for example, me 5 years ago, like I wouldn't say my basic morals and like dreams have changed too much, but it's happened in so much of a different way than I expected. Like I genuinely thought I was going to be, you know, traveling full time and
doing nutrition
and dietetics. Guys, that was my biggest dream for such a long time. And then the dream pretty much came to fruition and I turned it down. Yeah. So like where that came from, I don't know. My friend group and friends in general are in a completely different position than what they were five years ago. I was going to say 10, but even 5 years ago. And yeah, even my beliefs and morals have changed. It's just crazy how much your life changes. So like give me a couple things. So like I spoke about traveling, nutrition, modeling, all of that.
Well, to be honest, like for me, it's very similar. My dream, like obviously like my goal and my dream is to be an actor and to be a successful actor. And it's something that I knew that I wanted to be from a very young age. Ever since I stepped on a stage, I've always wanted to do it, and will do it until I die. But like you said, for me, it's more so how I came to that realization and how I achieved what I've achieved in my life, which I had no idea this is the way that it was going to happen. People, my whole friendship circle. When I was back in high school, I thought I was going to have that same group. Like it was very much so like in that sort of bubble, and it couldn't be beyond different. I don't talk to a single person from high school. I have a totally different group of friends, family. Like it has all changed so much for me, even like relationship wise. Like I am a lot more open and I'm a lot more comfortable in my skin than I was a long time ago. And I honestly thought I was like never going to be in a relationship because it kind of never happened for me. But then it happened and I was like, oh my gosh.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Mm. And it's something so simple, but something that I think a lot of people can relate to where it's like it changes your whole kind of, I don't know, experience in life. Mm. And I am living my dream, you know, but it's inconsistent. And the way that I got there and the people that I have in my life are so different to what I could have ever imagined.
You know, that's so funny you say that because I'll bring up a little thing that I actually do every single year. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but in 2016, I started this, like, I have like this diary journal mm-hmm. thing. And every single year, I don't even plan when I do it. I wake up one day and I'm like, today is the day. Mm-hmm. And I literally open this book. It's been the same book for the past 10 years.
Wow.
And I literally write in it everything that has happened in my life
mm-hmm.
in that past year.
Yeah.
And the last time I did it, because usually I'll just wake up and I'll be like, oh, well, today's the day. And I'll start writing and writing and writing and writing.
That's actually such a good thing to do, guys. Writing down at the end of kind of that year of all the major events that have happened.
And you know what? I think this is something I'll finish up with this, but I think this is something I've done constantly. I love tracking these like core memories. Like, I don't know who I tell everyone to do this, but I did this thing. I started, I think, when I was in like grade 3 or something. I was very young. I went and bought a book, like a really cheap book, and I made it my like classmates' book. And every single year, classmates and teachers, every single year that I finished school, I went and I got every single one of my classmates that year to write me a message in the book, almost as if like it's you're signing your like grade 12 shirt
at the end
of the school year. Sorry. But I did it in a book and my teachers did the same and I carried it all the way through to year 12. And then at the same time, obviously I wasn't in third grade in 2016, but around the same time I started the journal as well. And last year I actually, when I finished writing that entry, I went back and I read all of my other ones. And I just remember thinking like, holy, the amount of things that have changed just in this past year alone. Like mm-hmm. I remember there was one entry, it might have been like 2023 or something, and I was like, okay, this year I got into university and started university. I got my driver's license. I went overseas for the first time on my own for 6 weeks. I'm in a relationship now with someone new. It was crazy. And I remember looking back and being like, if you had asked me if I thought all this stuff would happen when I had written it down. And I just remember having this one thought being like, I can't wait to read through the rest of the pages.
Yeah.
Like in the future. Because this year looks so different to next year, which was so different to the year. It is.
That is epic.
No, seriously, if you're not already doing this, do it. And I recommend it to every single person that's doing it. And even if it's like, if you forget 1 year, who cares? Jot down what happened the following year.
Yeah.
It's so nice. And I also have a memory box, guys. I have a box of like all the, which I'm getting Rose to start.
Yes,
as well.
I started doing it too.
A box of like all the little memories from when I was young up until now. Like I'm talking, guys, I've got some wild things in there. I've got like my first tooth that fell out that my mum
kept. First hair.
I've got
like, my belly button. My mum kept my belly button from when I was like the umbilical cord, like when you cut like.
Some of it is like, you know, stranger things to happen. And some of it is really cute. Like, you know, the first letter that my mum like wrote a book for me from the day I was born. Every day she wrote in a diary for me until I turned one. And I've kept that in my memory box.
It's beautiful.
It's just so nice to see how you grow over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're talking about outgrowing your life, but sometimes it's nice to see where you are now to where you were.
Absolutely.
That's one of my favorite things, honestly. Memories and experiences are something that I will always prioritize over mm-hmm. anything else in my life.
I think going off that, it's interesting because society romanticizes like sticking to that one dream and the group of people that you've been friends with your whole life and the career that you've always wanted to do. Like society romanticizes that, you know, you hear it all the time.
Sticking with plan A,
sticking with what's comfortable, the fear mm-hmm. of disappointing others, being like, oh, but you know, everyone in my family is a doctor, I have to become a doctor too.
Mm.
It's so like common that I just banged the microphone. it's so common that that happens. And I think having journals and even looking back at photos and things like that of like who you were back then and who you are now. And I think people change. People change. Life changes. You are growing every single day. And if your dream was to become an actor like mine is, and you wanted to become an actor for literally since you were 3 years old, right? And you are now 23.
Mm-hmm.
And if that changes for you and you think to yourself, like, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe it doesn't bring me as much joy as it used to. So interesting, because I've spoken about this before. I graduated from NIDA, which is a drama school, and it's very hard to get into, and a lot of people try and try and try years and years on end. Mm-hmm. And my class, I had some incredibly like talent, very, very talented people in my class. And I did that for a year. I have a diploma in stage and screen acting. And half of the people in my class who have spent probably years trying to get into, you know, NIDA, into that course, don't act anymore. Mm. And they've found other passions in life. One of my best friends, and he will know who it is now a musical writer. And never in a million years did he think, and he said this to me the other day. He was like, Rose, I'm having an identity crisis. All my life I've wanted to become an actor. It's been my dream. I went to NIDA, I did training, la, la, la. But writing really fulfills me and directing really fulfills me. And he's now written and directed an award-winning musical that has become so successful. I think it has like 20K on Instagram, like their musical page. Wow. And it is crazy, because this person was literally like, Rose, I'm having an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to become an actor all my life. Why? Like, do I even enjoy this? And I said, mm-hmm. Look, you are so successful in what you do, and you can always go back to acting if you wanted to. There's still in the creative field.
One step road.
There's no like single step road.
Yeah.
But it's weird, because like obviously we're in two different positions. Is I've wanted to act all my life, same as this person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still kind of trying to fulfill that dream. Mm-hmm. But this person has chosen a different path, but also realized that this is something that really fulfills them.
Yeah.
And it's different.
You know what? I think that like clings nicely to the next point I was going to make. But a lot of people actually, which I'll speak about my personal experience in this as well, but a lot of people actually face guilt with stuff like that as well, mm-hmm. and feeling like they're not allowed to switch the road that they wanted to go on initially because
of various factors.
It's not only like they're disappointing themselves, but it's like disappointing others too. And I had that. I've experienced that exact feeling multiple times in my life. Me, like, you know, not choosing to do nutrition. Study nutrition was probably the first major one, because I was like, but why don't I want to do this? Like, I've literally everyone, I guarantee you, every single person in my high school right now, because that's how much I used to talk about it, if they found out what I was studying, would be like, what?
Yeah.
The nutrition girl is doing media and comms. Like, there's no way. Because I used to talk about it that much that it almost became a part of me. It was like, well, I am going to be a nutritionist because that is what I want to do. It's what I've cared about since I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I literally woke up one day and I remember getting the text message to say, congratulations, you've made it into nutrition and dietetics. And I looked at it and I went, nah.
This is
like, I was like, I don't know if that's for me. And I felt so guilty saying that, because I'm like, but now I've let down everyone, because everyone knows that that's what I want to do and that's what I've wanted to do. Why am I feeling like this? And the same goes with modeling. And the reason I say that is, even though I will say it over and over again, it is something I love so much and something that I would literally do for free. So many people still ask me to this day, inclusive of you, of why I'm not getting back into it or why I haven't been getting back into it so much. I think I've reached the point where before I was doing it, not in a bad way, but I don't know if that fulfills me as much as other things do anymore.
Yeah.
And as much as I loved it and I would take any other opportunity now, and I'm sure I would love it just as much in the act, but at the moment I genuinely am not pursuing, not because I don't think I can, but because I just don't think it fulfills me as much.
Well, on that,
yeah.
On that,
yeah.
Let's talk about external validation versus internal fulfillment.
Okay.
Because you literally just said, yeah. Look, I don't know if that fulfills me anymore.
Yeah. And that's me being completely honest. I know some people might think, oh, you know, she tried so many times and blah, blah. And I genuinely did. And I've been successful to a degree. And I genuinely think that I could have done it. And so many people are now, you know, at me, why aren't you still modeling? Why aren't you changing your agent? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you fulfilling
me
more?
That's me.
No, but not just Rose. It's literally everyone, inclusive of you, but everyone. And all the time my answer pretty much remains the same to them. It's like, oh, you know, I'm busy. I'm this, I'm that. But deep down, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out if that's what I actually love and want to do and prioritize so much of my time in. And I know great things will like come eventually, like, there's always chances to do photo shoots and stuff like
but
that.
But you can
like,
always go back to it. This exactly. is the thing. And nothing is ever infinitely done.
Yeah. Like, and I've tried it and I loved it. And now there's so many more things that bring me so much more happiness than that. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not portraying modeling as being a bad thing, nor acting, nor cooking, nor being an engineer. Like, there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But to me, it just doesn't bring me as much fulfillment anymore. And yes, I have also felt guilty with that when people around me are like, but you're so good at it. Why don't you just do it? And I'm like, guys.
But that's exactly what it is.
It's a personal thing.
Is it external validation that, you know, if you do something or if you stick by doing something or being in the wrong relationship or in the right relationship or whatever – is it external validation that is making you stay in this certain thing that's not fulfilling for you? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
Is this fulfilling me? Is this serving me? Am I happy doing this? And if it's other people's praise towards you that is making you happy, then that's not happiness. That's external validation, and it's fueling that insecurity
it's
of yours.
It's external validation. And you know what? I think I'm pretty lucky because I learned pretty early on that it's my life. I'm in control of my life. No one else can tell me what to do with my life. I'm a very open-minded person, though. I'd like to think I've never been rude to anybody intentionally, or like I will listen to everyone's opinion. I love everyone. But honestly, I learned pretty early on that no one's going to tell me what to do with my life. So I never took I never felt the need for an external validation, but it was more an internal battle for me because it was like I felt like I was letting myself down more than anything because I'm like, I wanted this for so long.
Yeah. But why people don't I feel want it the pressure. Anymore? People feel pressure to live up to that. It's almost like
you're being held accountable.
You're being held accountable and like also sometimes when it's like a childhood dream or a childhood attachment to something like that as a kid, you look at it and you're like, this is what I want. Like this is everything. And I want to grow up and be this and be with that person and la, la, la. It's really hard to let that go. And I want to talk about that is like, how do you go from, because for me, right, I would feel like I would be having an identity crisis if I got to the point and I was like, I don't think I want to be an actor anymore. Like, what would I, like you would be in shock because that's been a dream of mine probably since I was in the womb.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's like letting down the four-year-old self that is looking up to you right now.
Because that's what it feels like. You're letting down that, you feel like you're letting down that inner child when really you're just growing and you're just changing.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Even if I did decide that maybe acting wasn't for me in the future, then that is what it is. And I could always go back to it if I wanted. Sometimes what happens is you decide, oh, something isn't for me. You try other things, you try other things, you try other things, and it doesn't fulfill you. And then you go back to what you knew at that time fulfilled you, and things change. Like nothing is ever set in stone.
No.
And that's kind of what we're trying to get at is just allow yourself to unfold the way that you're unfolding. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to try other things. Yeah. And we're not just talking
and
career-wise.
And not feel guilty about it.
Absolutely. The guilt is that as well. And it's also external influences.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you have people like family and friends, because I remember like the person that I spoke about I'm not going to say his name, but about the whole musical, them becoming a writer after drama school and things like that. That person, including me, I was like, no, but you have to continue acting. You're an actor. Yeah. You are so talented and you are so amazing and you're prodding and you're prodding and you're prodding because you may believe in somebody. But it doesn't fulfill that person anymore. And that will just put pressure on that person to be like, oh, okay, like I'll do it, okay, when they actually don't want to do it.
Yeah. I actually find it really exciting knowing that, like, the person I am today might not be – like the exact same person as I will be in 5 to 10 years. If I'm
or even tomorrow.
Or even tomorrow.
You might literally, like, you might wake up and have an epiphany about your life and be like,
quite a few times.
Oh my gosh, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. Why am I doing it? Working in retail, that's for me. And I'm like, I need to stop. And immediately, and I'm like, why am I still working in retail? Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other can of worms.
That's our whole other third world story.
Yes. Yeah. But it's, it doesn't matter. It could be 5 seconds from now. It could be 5 minutes from now. It could be 5 years from now. It doesn't matter when that time happens because it happens for everybody. No one, for me, in my industry, no one acts until they're 95 years old, unfortunately, as much as you love it. Everybody stops and retires at some point. Everybody changes their minds about things. You change your mind about people. You change your mind about careers. You change your mind about hobbies and things that you like. You know, one minute I want this, the next minute I want that. Like, it's, you're a human being. You're going to want different things at different stages in your life. And it's important to understand that once you've attached yourself to something, that is bound to change.
And look, I want to add another piece of advice that I read once, but if you're one of those people that feels like they are going through that sort of identity crisis, don't know what they want to do with their lives, don't know how they're feeling, all of this stuff, I would suggest block out all external influences, sit back and genuinely write and think about your thoughts. And I was told, and I've done this with a lot of things that I'm struggling like to figure out in my life, I always just keep asking myself why. Why am I doing this? Because blah, 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 blah. Okay, and why that? Because blah, 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 blah. And continue with the whys, the whys, the whys, and then you'll eventually get to the deep-rooted issue of why it does or does not fulfill you, or you are or are not the way that you are, or your interests or your beliefs or whatever it may be. I just think that's a really good idea.
No, I agree. All the time. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's a feeling. Like, it is a feeling that you have when you feel like you're unfulfilled. And like, in whatever way that might be, that might feel like you're a bit stuck or you're stagnant or things aren't happening, you know. A million times have I been like, oh my God, like acting like it's so hard, or, you know, I'm not getting auditions, or I'm not getting this role and I was so close here and I didn't get it. Rejection, rejection, rejection. My mind's like, oh, maybe I should do something else. But then I go to the core and I'm like, but when I do it, it fulfills me so much. And that one yes is so worth the a million no's that I get as an actor.
See, but you have managed to come down to that deep-rooted feeling.
It's a deep-rooted.
Yes, it's a feeling. I do love this. Yes, I am doing it for myself and not for other people.
Yeah.
For the people that don't know what they're doing, it's more about getting down to that core of why you're doing what you're doing. And not having to feel guilty about it.
What about for somebody that literally doesn't know their passion, doesn't know their hobbies, doesn't know if they're in the right place at the right time? How do you distinguish, like, fulfillment and external validation?
Look,
how do you find that?
There's always going to be something that makes someone feel good. Always. It doesn't matter if it's as simple as
helping people,
as helping people, as being able to move your body, as staying in bed all day, as getting up and, you know, chasing your dream, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There's always something that will make you feel, unless you're, I don't know,
unless you're
with zero emotion.
Which is what, a sociopath? Oh, a narcissist?
Like, unless even you're someone that's completely numb to everything, I guarantee you have felt love or like excitement or happiness at some point.
Doing something, even if it's like hanging out with your friends. Okay. Hanging out with your friends, great. You like being around people that make you feel good.
Mm-hmm. And guys, don't misconstrue what we're saying, because I'm not telling you that if the only thing you find passion in is hanging out with your friends, just do
no,
that for
but
the
it's
rest
just
of your
a
life.
Little example.
No one has a million perfect days. The person that may seem the happiest to you might wake up one day and feel like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And that's not the worst thing ever. Guys, we're human. That's how we operate. There's been days I would consider myself a very happy person. Touch wood, I've touched on this before, but like I've never experienced a mental health issue like other people have. Of course I felt sad. Of course I felt, you know, quote unquote, a state of depression at
anxiety.
Some point and anxious at some point. I felt all of those things, but I've been lucky enough to not have experienced it the way, for example, that you or my mother have.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it and it's not good. I don't know where I was going with this, but pretty much, oh yeah, no one wakes up every single day and has a great day every single day, right?
And you, like, sometimes you're going to feel flat. At the moment, I feel flat.
Yeah.
I feel quite flat in life. I'm going to be fully honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, auditions are quiet. Mm-hmm. It's raining outside. I'm constantly working a job that I, you know, not necessarily don't want to be working, but like working a job
that doesn't fulfill
me entirely. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my friends are away and I'm, you know,
I feel
whatever
exactly
it is. And it's like, I feel a bit flat. I feel kind of shit right now. I've got stuff happening with family and whatnot and health-related issues. And it's just like, that's okay because that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one particular reason of why I'm feeling flat. And I'm as mental health as it gets. I have gone through everything that you can possibly imagine mental health-wise. And that's where Emanuela and I actually complement each other because Emanuela –
I'm a listener.
Is a listener.
Yeah.
She has a little bit more stability in her and she comes from a more of a rational point of view.
Yeah.
And I've got my anxious, overthinking, catastrophic mind where I'm, you know, quite emotional and things like that, which I actually think is a really beautiful thing.
It's a great dynamic.
And I use, you know, what I've gone through with my mental health, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but how much have I grown from that?
Oh,
and I've become a person that I wasn't 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I am changing all the time because my past experiences form the way that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really beautiful thing for everyone, even you who hasn't, you know, necessarily like been hospitalized for her mental health before.
No, guys, I'm a very pretty boring person if I'm being quite frank. Like my life is pretty mundane on a day to day. But you know, one thing that I do every single day is before I go to bed, I will sit there and recite every single thing that day, specifically that day that I'm grateful for. I'm not talking, you know, I do the normal like roof over my head, clothes I wear, food I eat, all of that. But I'm talking about if I got to have a conversation with a stranger that day that fulfilled me, that will be in my gratitude at the end of the night.
Mm.
If I got to, you know, finally buy something that's been on my mind for ages, that will be on my gratitude at the end of the night. If I finally got to accept something that I haven't accepted or get over something that's been bothering me for the past 2 years, I will be grateful for that day, whatever it may be. And that has helped me so much accept the person that I am now and also be grateful for the person I was as well, since we're on the topic of outgrowing. But yeah, like honestly, you'll realize you don't have to take my advice, but you'll realize that someone who is grateful for the little things that they have in their life is always going to be happier. I never, for example, you know, had a massive party phase. I never, you know, went out and I've never really met, you know, anyone crazy that's had some massive impact on my life or, you know, like whatever it may be. My point is my life is pretty mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, I've still managed to find freedom, find love, find happiness, find gratitude, find all of that stuff genuinely that like now nothing really bothers me. And even like things that I used to, in terms of growing, things that I used to take so much more seriously before. If I had a confrontation with someone before, someone disagreed with me before, someone, you know, said that they didn't want to be my friend with me before, best believe I would be the girl that would, you know, take it to heart.
Be sensitive. Oh, I'm so sensitive.
Now, I'm not saying I'm fully there yet, because I still get agitated at things, but now I'm a lot more open-minded and a lot more level-headed and a lot more accepting. And I'm just like, yeah, that's them and I'm me. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely am like,
see, that's great. Like, that's great. I'm a little different. Is like, I'm quite sensitive. I've grown so much, oh my gosh, with my sensitivity now, honestly, by being in this acting industry and facing the relationships that I faced in the past. I feel like I'm invincible, but I'm obviously not. I'm a human. But see, I'm quite sensitive. I feel emotions so deeply. I take things, certain things to heart.
Yeah.
And things bother me, but not as much as they used to, because obviously I've grown and I understand that, you know, a lot of things are people's insecurities or projection on mm-hmm. others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're kind of a yin and yang yeah. when it comes to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to relate that to outgrowing
yeah.
is like, sometimes there are things that you don't outgrow. Mm. I think I will always have sensitivity. I think I will always feel emotions very deeply. Mm. I think that that won't change because it's inherent to who I am. And I have the beautiful capacity to feel those emotions. That's why I'm an actor, because I want to portray emotions.
Yeah.
And I want to connect with people, and I want to show people that it's okay to feel. And if you're somebody that isn't emotional like you, that's okay. Like, we're different in that sense.
I wouldn't say I'm not emotional, guys. I'm not heartless, but I get what you're saying.
That's not what emotional means.
I'm logical.
You're more you take things with more of a logical standpoint.
Yeah. I'll take things for what they are. I can be objective.
I take things by emotion and it's like, or how I'm feeling in that moment. Like, if I feel confronted or if I feel vulnerable, like, you will see that through me. Yeah. Whereas you'll be like, actually, no. Like, I'll the situation.
Before I come to a conclusion.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't jump to conclusions.
Today, right? I had a bad day at work today.
Yeah.
And I came to Emmanuel and I was really frustrated and I was really, really angry.
She got in my car furious.
I got in her car. Emmanuel was like listening to Alex Warren crying in the car because Alex Warren is a great emotional singer about relationships and heartache and whatnot. And I get in the car and like start screaming and swearing. And I'm just like, I'm so this, I'm so da da da. And I was very, very like emotional because of what had happened to me at my job. And Emanuela was, and I told her what happened.
Mm.
And you pretty much like laid it out for me. And you're like, dude, in the span of things, it's not a big deal. Mm. This is a casual job that you work at.
Mm-hmm.
These people are not your people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, anyways.
And I was like, wow.
My immediate reaction was like, bro, it's like.
Like, why are you taking this so to heart? And I'm like, no, but this person affected me. This person said this and this and that.
The first thing I did say is I understand it, because when someone disappoints you, a lot of people take things as personal attacks. And I think that's one thing that I've learned to do as I've outgrown my old life, is I've learned to take things for what they are, not for what I thought they would be, or expectations. Letting go of expectations is one of the biggest things that has helped me grow as a person and just be quote unquote happy all the time as much as I can. But with stuff like that, I'm like, and I do this with anyone, just I see Rose too often. But like, when she got into my car raging, I was like, all right, what happened? Talk to me, blah, blah, blah. All right, with the information you've given me, this and this and this and this is the fact. It's not that serious.
It's a fact, not a feeling.
Literally.
It's like, what is known to be true here?
Yeah.
Do these people hate you? No. Are these people working casually?
Would they have been having a bad day?
No.
Are they working casually?
Yes.
Are they doing this?
Exactly.
Are they doing that? Okay. So the general consensus is that it's not a big deal.
Correct. And honestly, I've calmed down a little bit, but I was really infuriated with what happened before.
We all get infuriated.
Yeah. We've kind of
anyway, we've gotten off track. Moral of the story is there's no one size fits all, guys.
No.
And you don't need to feel guilty for outgrowing a life that you thought you wanted. That's the whole model of this episode.
But it's also the whole purpose of being a human.
Yeah.
Outgrowing things in your life, you're never going to stick with the same people, the same experiences, the exact same reality for your whole life. Things are going to change.
And the reason I say that is even as someone who I would say I haven't changed as an overall person, like my deep down, like who I would consider myself
your to be core values, wise. But you as a person has absolutely changed.
My last 10 years, I have seen drastic change every single year. And that is why I believe that every single person will outgrow a life that they thought they wanted or that lived, you know, once upon a time. And it's okay to do that. It's not the end of the world.
It sounded just then when you said, I believe, it sounded like you were doing debating. I believe all like public speaking.
I love a good debate.
Yeah.
That is one thing you need to know about me is I love a good debate.
And you know what? She's good at them.
Thank you.
We debate a lot.
We do debate a lot.
Those 1 a.m. conversations in bed debating about religion and
it's everything. And
yeah, no, it's fun. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up there because we've rambled a lot and I think you get what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
And please, honestly, like if you're feeling stuck or if you're feeling like you're outgrowing a person, a life, a career, a moment, reach out. Let's have a chat because I'm with you. Emmanuel is with you. Mm-hmm. And
we've had that before. And in what, people reaching out.
You've
changed my perspective on this or I just went like you got a beautiful message the other day of someone that was going through a massive friendship breakup and was like
I listened to your episode this. I really needed to hear this like and thank you so much. I didn't even think
that was a great episode.
I didn't either, but that person got something out of it. Shout out to that person if you're listening to this episode. But it really really makes our day. So please reach out. Even if like you listen to an episode, you may not have gotten something out of it, but even if you like it, like tell us, like be like, hey, it's great episode. Because it just kind of shows us that we're making an impact. And I think that's the whole point of us doing the Lostish podcast is because we want to make an impact.
Yeah.
We'll
wrap it up there so we don't ramble anymore.
Wrap it up there, kitties. Listen again. Yes. Well, we hope you liked this episode and stay tuned for
the next episode
of the Lostish podcast.
Oh, we need to stop doing these dances.
Oh my God.